You're listening to Christian Reconstruction 101, and I'm your host, Jeremy Walker. Christian Reconstruction 101 is a website and a podcast devoted to rebuilding the foundations of Orthodox Christianity and establishing the kingdom of God through the discipling of the nations. Hopefully on our website and this podcast, you'll find pressing questions answered from a very biblical perspective, and you'll also be introduced to important books related to Christian Reconstruction and Reformation in our world today. Now, I'd like to go ahead and get started on this episode of Christian Reconstruction 101, and I'd like to kind of start pretty simply with a few things just to get started. I've entitled this episode, I Want My Children to Be in Debt, Be Covered in Tattoos, and Be Sexually Active. I kind of gave this episode a trigger title for a reason. Recently, there was a blog post written by a woman discussing how men prefer women who were debt-free virgins and not covered in tattoos. This subject triggered a lot of people, pretty much went viral on Facebook and social media, blog posts, podcasts, all over the place. And I don't really want to focus too much on it as a whole. I entitled it on purpose to trigger a response, which has been triggered by most people. But Christian Reconstruction 101 and Christian Reconstruction is about the standard. What is the standard is the question. And most people, hopefully if you're listening to this, you're familiar with the idea that people like to fight. People like to fight about everything, really. Social media, blog posts, news, comment sections. I think everybody tunes in to social media. They turn on the news. They read blog posts and articles. They listen to podcasts just so they can be triggered, just so they can be upset about something. And they tune in almost just to hear things so they can be upset about it. And then they argue about it and fight about it in Christian circles and outside of them. And the reason I wanted to start this kind of a different fashion was because there's a problem. And the problem is not with somebody else. The problem is not what did someone else say, not how did they upset you. The question is very personal. If you're within Christian circles for any length of time, and I've been on social media myself, you'll find that within Christian circles in particular, people like to fight. Fight about everything, really. And I don't know about you as the listener, but I'm rather tired of all the fighting. How are Christians supposed to influence the world if they fight all the time? What do they have that people on the outside that are not Christians would look at and say, wow, look at those people. I would like to imitate that. I think that we have a major problem, something that's infiltrated the Christian circles. And I think it's time that Christians kind of put a stop to it. First thing you have to understand, I had some people ask me this week, what is Christian Reconstruction? And if you're familiar with it, then you're familiar with the idea. R.J. Rushdoony coined the phrase Christian Reconstruction. He originally actually coined the phrase Christian Renaissance and then went back and changed it to Christian Reconstruction. I like the term. When I was converted as a Christian at the age of 17, people kept asking me, what are you, what are you, what are you? What that meant when they were asking you, what are you, meant what denomination did you belong to? Were you a Baptist? Were you a Presbyterian? What were you? And the only response I had to those people was that I'm a Christian. And I couldn't think of a better term to use, and I still use the same term. I don't like the concept of denominations, though many people do hold to the idea of denominationalism. I hold to the idea that Christians all belong to the same faith. They only have one Savior, and there's only one body of Christ. But you get the idea when you talk to people, Christians and all the rest, their little sects that they go into, different groups, different denominations, all the fighting that goes on endlessly and constantly with people. That for somehow there's lots of different groups within the Christian faith. Well, there's not. There's the truth. And I think that gets lost in the shuffle. Not only does it get lost in the shuffle that we argue amongst ourselves about it, but we also don't seem to be able to present truth to those on the outside, much less on the inside. So to begin with, I'm just really tired of all the fighting that Christians do. And I don't think that we have anything within the Christian circles that should be imitated by non-Christians on the outside. I think it's very sad. We have to do something to make a change. And so this podcast is going to be about that. So even though it's entitled, I Want My Children to Be in Debt, to be covered in tattoos, and to be sexually active, we're going to cover this topic just a little bit. But I don't really want you to even focus on that topic because the question is personal. If you're a Christian listening to this, it's personal to you. And if you're not a Christian and you come across this podcast, this is also personal to you as well. Because truth is what it's really about. And Christians are supposed to have the truth. And they're supposed to want to give it to other people. Now, there was a magician some time ago, Penn and Teller. Penn being the bigger guy, black hair. I saw a video that he did a long time ago. You probably find it on Facebook if you haven't seen it before. But Penn was talking about a guy he met at one of his shows, a Christian who came up to him and began to present the gospel to Penn, gave him a small New Testament Bible, and began to talk to him about it. Well, the way the guy presented himself and the way he talked to Penn really moved the guy. And if you don't know Penn from Penn and Teller, he's well outspoken atheist. He doesn't believe in God, doesn't accept the Bible as authoritative, any of the stuff in between. But it moved him because the man actually cared. He cared enough to talk to him. He cared enough to try to tell him the truth. And even though Penn couldn't articulate it, he kept calling the man a good man. And that's true. He was a good man for trying to do that. But a good man tries to tell people the truth, to try to present the truth. They try to help people. And I think that's what's missing today. That's what Christian Reconstruction is about, rebuilding something. It seems to me that people try to tear things down. They're trying to rip everything down. And that is part of the idea with Christianity. You do have to expose things that are a problem. You have to fix them. Kind of like if a man is an alcoholic, you have to expose the fact that the man is an alcoholic. He has to come to grips with that, to terms with that. We have people who have interventions with loved ones. They get together and they sit them down and say, "We're here because we care about you and we want to help you. And we want you to admit that you have a problem, if it's alcoholism or whatever the other problem might be." But they're not trying to do this because they hate the person. They're doing it because they care about them. They want to help them. They want to benefit this person. And I think that's what's really missing from the church today, from Christians today. Paul does talk about in the New Testament. He says, "Have I become your enemy because I've told you the truth?" And there are going to be people who do not like to be told the truth. There are people you cannot help. But it doesn't mean you don't try. Penn, from Penn and Teller, was a very famous atheist, a man who very outspokenly against God and the Bible and all the rest, but the man he met tried to help him, as he said. If you really believe in heaven and hell, as Penn said, wouldn't it be your responsibility to try to teach the person and tell the person about this? So I thought that kind of stuck with me as the man was talking, Penn was talking about this, this concept. So the Christian Reconstruction 101 website and Facebook page, you can find the website at ChristianReconstruction101.com. You can find the Christian Reconstruction 101 Facebook page at facebook.com/ChristianReconstruction101. We also have a discussion group on there as well, which you can also like the group, try to become a part of the group. We also have another group, which is called Reforming the Family, and that's for Christian parents in particular, to discuss reconstructing the family and things that are pertinent to parents and how to raise children, that kind of thing. Now, to go through a few things, because I want to touch on a few stuff before I get into all this other content, we're also working on a few more things on Christian Reconstruction 101. It's going to be a broad spectrum thing, hopefully something that could present the truth and help people, not argue with people, but to help people. Some people might like the content, some people might not like the content, but the content, as Penn said, is something that should be presented in a manner that is clearly intended to help people, if they accept it or not. The alcoholic may not be grateful that you point out his alcoholism or any other problem that a person might have, but they can't deny the fact that you're really just trying to help them. So there's lots of different content on Christian Reconstruction 101. One of the other projects we're working on as well is Reshtuni Radio. Reshtuni Radio, if you're not familiar with Reshtuni, R.J. Reshtuni, you can find it at reshtuniradio.org. Reshtuni is spelled R-U-S-H-D-O-O-N-Y, radio, which is R-A-D-I-O.org. Lots of content on there. If you're curious at all about Christian Reconstruction, that's a good place to start. Also in Christian Reconstruction 101, we're going to have not just this podcast, but a couple others as well. Moral Foundations podcast, which is devoted to teaching people, parents, pastors, school teachers, how to teach the Bible. And so hopefully we're going to have some good content on there for you to listen to. We have Preschool Pioneers, which is also geared towards Christian education, but in particular, the promotion of Christians starting schools for the promotion of teaching people, children in particular, godly and Christian morality, and the promotion of that idea that others should get involved in education and how important it is. And so we're going to have that on Christian Reconstruction 101 as well. But all these materials we're hoping are going to be geared towards those two concepts we're already talking about, telling the truth and present it in a manner that's clearly and hopefully designed to benefit the listener and the hearer. And that's the goal. That's the entire goal. Now, this whole stuff about being triggered, people want to be triggered. People want to argue. The best thing I can say for people, if they're Christians and they're seeing a lot of conflict and irritation, one, don't participate in it. It's not helpful at all to anyone. It's not beneficial to anybody to argue and fight endlessly. And to separate yourselves from people that do, people that just want to tear other people down. Reshtuni had a great lecture in his Institutes of Biblical Law series, which can be found on Reshtuni Radio. It was entitled Amalek, a very great lecture. But he mentioned the fact that the majority of people, those that are non-Christian or the people that are anti-God in and outside the church, they only have two goals. One is to destroy others, and the second one is to humiliate them. So it's never for the benefit of somebody else. And, you know, I think that people will be happy to try to point out that this is the non-Christian, but I think it resembles people inside the church far more often than it does those outside the church. And if we're going to benefit people, then our goal is not to destroy people. Our goal is not to try to humiliate people. But that seems to be the goal all the time, is to humiliate somebody else You'll hear Christians talk all the time about trying to talk with people who are non-Christian and argue with their reasoning and their logic and all this other stuff. But the idea is to just point out how irrational or how stupid someone is. But that's not geared towards helping them. That's not telling them the truth. It's just trying to point out that they're wrong. But that's not giving them what they need. What they need is the truth. Now, you can't persuade anybody of anything. You can't make somebody believe you. Like the analogy of the alcoholic earlier, you may not be able to get him to admit what he's doing is wrong, the alcoholic. You may not get him to agree with you that he needs to change. But you can at least tell him the truth about the problem he's going to have and hopefully benefit him by doing that. But you can't change people. And the gospel, the message, when people go out and teach it and preach it and all the rest, you can't change people. That's up to God only. If you think you're changing people, then you don't understand the gospel very well. You don't have the power to change somebody's mind or heart. It's not a possibility for you. Only something God can do. But having said that, we're talking about here this article that was written, how men prefer women who are not in debt, are not covered in tattoos, and are virgins or not sexually active. Well, it triggered a lot of people because a lot of people fall into those categories. A lot of people are in debt. The article discussed college and how college people go into debt, and it discovered how, you know, discussed people are covered in tattoos. Very common nowadays. It used to be not so, but now it is very common. And then, of course, the fact that most people are not virgins or sexually active or have been at some point in their life. People took offense to the idea that pointing these things out could be a problem. But why would it be? Why would it be? What's the standard? Why would any of these be a problem for you? I think the main problem is that people say, well, if I fall into those categories, then you're insulting me. Why would it be insulting? What is it you want for your kids? I mean, the first thing that you have to admit is that you may have done something wrong. I mean, do you want your kids to be in debt? Well, no. I'd say that most parents would not want their children to be in debt. And so there's lots of ways we can go about teaching our children how to stay out of debt, handle money. Going to college, people like to argue about that. I don't say that you need to go to college unless there's a reason to. I recently was talking to a young lady who enrolled in college at the age of 18, and I asked her, I said, well, why are you going? And she said, I don't know. She's just supposed to go. I know another man who he enrolled himself into college later on in his years and got himself a college degree because he never had one. And now that he has one and he'd gone through all the college and stuff and now has all the debt, he says, why did I do that? I don't need this. Now I have all this debt. My wife has all this debt and we don't need it. We're not here really to discuss the merits of college or not. But the idea is debt versus college, is it necessary? And the majority of the time, most college degrees are not used for practical reasons. They're just degrees that you have. So it is something to think about. And people should have stopped and thought about the idea instead of just being upset that maybe they went to college and they have debt, so they're all upset because somebody criticized it. Well, are you using your college degree? Is it something that you would advocate other people do? Well, the vast majority of people that I know don't. They don't use their degrees at all, and they did go into debt and still are. Another aspect is the concept of tattoos. Now, biblically, well, it's very simple. People argue about it all the time. Christians agree with tattoos, don't agree with tattoos. The Bible is very clear not to print marks on your body. That's very clear. And then people argue the point, and, well, that doesn't mean what it says it means, and all the rest in Leviticus. But the point of this podcast is not to argue for or against tattoos. But I remember talking to somebody about the concept and said, well, okay, one tattoo is okay in your book. Well, when is too many enough? Can you do it on your face? When do you stop? And they didn't really want to talk to me about the subject, and it was just a discussion. But the concept is everybody believes that there's a certain level where tattoos become a form of mutilation to a certain extent. And so we're not here to argue one way or the other, but there's so many people that I do know, when it comes to their kids, They might even have tattoos, might even be proud of them. But whenever it comes to their kids, they're saying, no, you need to stop and think about this. And they are not promoting that their kids do this idea, which I think is something that's very good for a parent to do. The next thing is the concept of being a virgin. Why would people be upset about this? Why would they be angry? You made a mistake. So you fall in the category where you weren't a virgin, where you were sexually active. Well, is that something that you're proud of? If you are, is this something you want your kids to do? Is this something that God thinks is a good idea? Meaning, is this something that God says is good for you? Is this something that God says is right for you? And the answers to all these questions are very simple, but I don't really want to get into them right now because that's not really the point of what I'm trying to get at with this episode. The question is do you care? Do you care? Do you care what God says? If you don't care what God says, then why do you care what anybody says God says? It's really not worth arguing about. Why even argue? Why be upset? If you are a person who fell into one of those categories, you were in debt, you were covered in tattoos, you were sexually active in your youth or whatever, is it something that you are proud of? Is it something that you would say, well, I didn't do anything wrong. I'm okay with my kids doing that. I promote them to do the exact same thing. Are you in the category and saying, well, I messed up when I was younger, so I can't tell other people they shouldn't do it? Well, that's not how the truth works. The truth isn't dependent on you as the person. Truth is dependent upon what God says is good and what God says is not good. You're not the standard. I'm not the standard. Your ideas aren't the standard. If you're okay with it or not isn't the standard. That's not the truth behind the concept. And that's why I'm not really getting into the biblical reasonings behind all these things, ideas, biblical reasonings about debt, biblical reasonings about tattoos, biblical reasonings about sexual promiscuity, because people just don't care. That's why they argue. They don't agree. So they argue, they fight, they get upset. They say they feel insulted. Why would you be insulted? You don't need to be insulted. In particular, if you're a person who, let's say, is a Christian, and they did any of these things in their past, they were converted, what are you teaching now? Well, the Bible is very clear with David, and King David in particular was a murderer. He was an adulterer. And in the Psalms, it's very clear, if you just read the Psalms, read through them yourself, it's very clear what happened with David. He was a repentant man, and he says many times in there that he wanted God to forgive him, and as he's forgiven, he was going to teach others to obey God. It means he became the best evangelist for the truth, the best evangelist for teaching people how to live according to God's commandments. But the question is do you even care about the truth? Do you actually care what God said? Because I've talked to so many people, especially after I was converted at the age of 17 and many years later, and you run into the same problem again and again. People just don't care. They don't care what is in the Bible. They don't care how many verses you pull out. They don't care what verses are there. They don't care what God says. People will make excuses for anything. Either one, they completely reject the Bible entirely, or two, they'll say, well, that's not what the Bible means. You're interpreting that. That's not what it really means. And so people will believe whatever they want to believe. So all this idea about getting triggered and all the rest is, do you actually care what God thinks? I think it's the best question for anybody to ask themselves. Do you actually care? And if you don't actually care, if your ideas are all that matters, then you can ignore anything and everything someone says. Kind of like the drunk who doesn't care that he's an alcoholic. No matter what somebody tells him, he's just not going to listen to anybody saying he has a problem. He's not going to be thankful that somebody's telling him about his alcoholism. He's not going to be thankful that anybody's trying to help him. In fact, he's going to be upset and angry that people would even attempt to do so. And I think that's the main problem that we're facing today, is this question right here. But we really have to ask ourselves, if we're not the standard, and if we actually do care what God says about how we're supposed to live. And that's what Christian Reconstruction is all about. Some people have thought it was a some kind of a group or some kind of a sect, but it's not. It's not a denominational idea. It's Orthodox Christianity. Basically, it comes down to is that as a man is converted, as he's changed, his life changes, his family changes, his work ethic changes, and the things he promotes in society also change. I had somebody ask me the question, well, does that mean that, you think the church is in charge of the state? Well, no, the church is not in charge of the state. The church has a function, and it's not to be in charge of the civil realm. But it doesn't mean that people in the civil realm can do whatever they want. Rushdie is famous for saying that the source of law is a person's God, where you get your rules from. The majority of people, their God is themselves, which is why they can never admit any wrongdoing. They can never admit any fault. They can never admit that they've done something wrong. They would never promote anything different than themselves because they see themselves as the standard. They see themselves as the person who gets to make the rules. And whatever they are, whatever they've done, whatever decisions they've made, that's the right thing. And for them, that's how they view everything. So all these online discussions, all these online arguments, everything inside and outside the church, Christian, non-Christian, it really doesn't matter. Because the standard is always the person. It's not what God thinks at all. And if you don't care what God thinks, if you don't use the Bible as authoritative, then it doesn't matter what anybody says to you or tries to tell you. It doesn't matter if there's any Bible verses to back up anything. You're not going to pay attention to it. So this podcast is about self-examination. Do we think we have something to change about ourselves? Or do we think we're just okay? Do you not think that you have to change anything about yourself? Do you not think that God has the right to tell you what to do? He has a standard? Do you believe that the Bible is the standard? Do you believe that you should have something to repent of? Meaning, I did something wrong in the past. I'm not proud of that. And in the future, I'm going to be like David, and I'm going to be an advocate and an evangelist for pointing people in the right direction. The people that have done the most wrong are actually the best evangelists for good because they have experience. They can say, I did that. Don't do this, whatever the case may be. The debt, the tattoos, the sexual immorality, the drunkenness. You pick the sin. It doesn't matter. It's really irrelevant. But those that have done those things, especially if they're a Christian in particular, should be able to see these things, and they become the best advocates for telling people not to do it because you're not the standard. So what? You messed up. King David messed up more than anybody else I could possibly think of. He murdered a man, stole his wife, and had an illegitimate child with the man's wife. I don't know anybody that's done those things. But he was forgiven. He was repentant. And then he said, I'm going to point people to God. I'm going to point people to God's law. I'm going to teach people the way to live. See, you're not the standard. I'm not the standard. None of us are the standard. God and his law are the standard. And so instead of arguing and bickering and fighting and getting upset, self-examination is what's needed. Do you want to know what God wants you to do? Do you want to know how God wants you to live? Do you want to know what you're supposed to teach your children? Do you want to know how you're supposed to do your work? Do you want to know how you're supposed to and what you're supposed to advocate for your community, for your society, for your nation? What laws? People are right now quickly and very readily accepting what they call democratic socialization. Well, socialization, socialism, it basically is the idea that we should all be given things for free. It can be food, housing, education, whatever it might be. But somehow people are entitled to things, including some people think universal income. So the government's supposed to just provide you with all these things. But where does it come from? Where's the money the state's going to get? Oh, from taxes. Okay. Where do the taxes come from? What taxes have to be taken from people? The government has to come in and say, thank you for working hard. You did a good job. But we're going to take X amount of money from you because we're going to give it to somebody else. It's basically theft and covetousness on an institutional level. You wouldn't, as the normal person wouldn't, go and rob their neighbor's home at gunpoint and say, well, I have to pay for my food tomorrow or my kid's schooling or tuition, or I have to go to the doctor tomorrow, so I have to steal from you. But on an institutional, societal level, they're readily available to accept these things and say, I'm not going to steal to get things, but I want the government to do it for me. Now, God has things to say about all these things, and that's what Christian Reconstruction is about. But the question comes down to it again. Let's not argue about socialism or taxes or any of the rest. The question is, do you care? Do you care what God says, yes or no? And if you don't care, then your ideas are the only thing that matter. And no one has any truth to give to you. And so you don't really need to argue with anybody. All you have to do is say, I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what anybody thinks. My ideas are all that matter for me. And my ideas are the standard. That's it. My ideas are the standard. So I think that that's kind of the point of what I'm trying to get at and what you can expect if you're a listener for this podcast or any of our other stuff, is that right there, is that God is the standard for the Christian. You're not trying to wait for some mystical advice to fall out of the sky and feel inspired. He's given you a written word of what he wants you to do. And that is your standard. That's how you're supposed to take your personal life and conduct yourself according to what God says your personal life should look like, the things you should do and not do, the way you're supposed to conduct and organize your family, treat your husband, treat your wife, treat your children, how you educate your kids, what you teach them, what you say is right and wrong, how you conduct yourself at work or in the place of business, with your boss, with your coworkers, and of course, what you advocate on a societal level, what things are good, what things aren't, what things are justice, what things are not. And so if you are interested in the truth, God has the truth for you. The Bible is the standard, and that is the truth. And you can accept that or not, but that is where the truth is found. It's not something that's always going to make you happy. I remember one time talking to somebody and saying the idea of going to the Bible in order to get a good feeling is to completely misunderstand the Bible. The Bible's there for two main purposes, and they're both related to the gospel. The first is to convince every person that they're a sinner. You don't want to listen to anyone. It's the original sin from the garden. You want to determine for yourself good and evil. It's exactly what we've been talking about this entire episode. You want to be the determiner of good and evil. So it's to present to man his problem. You're in rebellion against God as the authority figure, as the creator, and you don't care what God says. That's number one, to present man with his problem. And the same problem Paul presented on Mars Hill in the book of Acts, it says that in times past God winked at things, but now is commands every man everywhere to repent. Now that right there is the first primary purpose. The second purpose is to teach people how to live. And if you go into 2 Timothy, you find that Paul is talking to Timothy about that, that all scripture is given so we can learn doctrine, we can have reproof, correction, so that the man of God may be perfect and able to perform good works. So the first part of it is to present the truth that man is in rebellion against God and wants to make the rules for himself. And he has to stop trying to do that. And the second aspect of it is to educate people. The doctrine is the things that are right and wrong. That's the doctrine. The reproof and the correction come next, which is what people, nobody wants. Nobody wants reproof. Nobody wants correction. So nobody wants to actually hear what the Bible says, and that is the purpose. But the last part I thought was the most interesting. Who is the Bible geared towards? Who is it supposed to teach? The man of God. See, those people that reject the gospel at the beginning, they reject God's authority. It doesn't matter what the Bible says because they've already rejected it. We don't have to argue with people who disagree with the Bible and God's authority because they're not going to listen to it. And it's not actually meant for them because they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear the truth. So we don't have to argue with people about it. It also includes those people who might be professing Christians, but also say, whatever I think is correct. They might be a professing Christian, but they're practicing non-Christian. See, this is the point also people miss as well. If the Bible is not authoritative, then they can't be given any doctrine. There's no reproof for you to give to those people. You can't give any instruction to them. And they're not going to listen to anything because they already think that their works are good. So whenever somebody says something concerning the things we're talking about, debt, tattoos, sexual promiscuity, they're not going to listen to any reproof or correction that the Bible might give because they don't want to hear it. And there's no reason to argue with people or to fight with them. You can say, I can tell you what the Bible says if you'd like to hear it. But if they don't want to hear it, there's nothing you can really do. But the idea is from the beginning, like we said, is the hopes of helping someone. It's not about hating somebody. It's about trying to help them. Nobody would say that if you're trying to talk to the drunk, that you're hating them because you're trying to point out to them that their lifestyle is not appropriate. Their lifestyle is damaging to themselves and all those around them. This also goes with all the rest of the Bible and all the instruction that it has. In the Bible, look in the book of Proverbs, it talks about wisdom standing in the streets, crying, calling all the fools into so they can learn and receive instruction. But the fools won't come in. They don't want to hear what wisdom has to say. Wisdom, in this case, is God. And then God says, you'll be filled with what you've done. Another way of saying it is, you reap what you sow. You can't be upset when things start happening that are positive or negative, mostly in this case negative, because of the choices that you've made. Christians are supposed to try to help people. That's the point. They want to help, bless, and promote other people. They don't want to hurt them. The point is not to destroy people, as we mentioned earlier. The point is not to humiliate people. The point is to genuinely try to help them. Help that person, help their children, help their family, help their business, and help their culture or their society. So people kind of completely miss the idea when they say, well, God's law for society, do you think that it applies to all people? Well, yes, it applies to all people. Whenever you start going to simple concepts, if we just start at the beginning, theft, stealing. Individuals shouldn't steal. Families shouldn't steal. Society shouldn't steal. Killing. Well, individuals shouldn't be trying to hurt each other. Families shouldn't be trying to hurt each other. And society shouldn't be trying to hurt each other. This goes into the concept of warfare and all the rest. So the Bible has a lot to say about every subject on the planet. Rushdie was famous for saying, to faith for all of life. And that's kind of the point. If you want to understand what Christian Reconstruction is all about, it's simply that. It's simply reordering and repairing the things that were broken down by sin and people destroying each other, their institutions, destroying their families, destroying their businesses, and yes, even destroying their societies and destroying their nations and cultures. It's about trying to fix things and put them back into order. And that only happens if you have a standard. So the question you have to ask yourself is, don't worry about anything anyone else has said. Where do you think the standard comes from? If you think the standard comes from you, why are you getting upset when other people disagree with you? You're the standard. Why even be upset? Because it doesn't matter to you what someone else has said. It doesn't matter to you what God has said. You're the standard. And the Bible would call you a fool, the person who will not receive instruction, the person who will not receive the advice God gives and tells you how to live. You won't have anybody command you. Like in the book of Acts, Paul said, God commands all men everywhere, repent. It's a command. But once again, if you don't acknowledge God's authority, you don't see his ability to command you to do anything. And certainly not to admit your wrongdoing, certainly not how you're supposed to live, and certainly not how to organize your family or your society. You're just going to do what you think is the right thing. And we have to be careful because God gives a warning. We reap what we sow. So Christians are supposed to be trying to help each other in particular and help other people as well. That includes people who are non-Christians. The idea is not to destroy them. The idea is not to try to humiliate them. The idea is to try to help them. And hopefully, if they can be helped, they'll be blessed by doing so. They'll be blessed by your ministry. So hopefully this is giving you some things to contemplate and to think on, the idea about being triggered too easily, the idea about where is the standard? Where is the standard for your life? Where do you get it? Do you get it from yourself, or do you get it from God? Do you care what God says? Do you think the Bible is authoritative? Or are you just going to decide what you like in the Bible and ignore the rest? Because you'll try to see yourself in the Bible. You use the Bible to justify yourself as the standard, rather than the Bible telling you the things you need to fix in your life. And it's not one of those things where you need to be upset about somebody. Do you actually care about what God says? So some things to think on. So this is Christian Reconstruction 101, and we do thank you for bearing with us for this episode. You can find, of course, our website at Christian Reconstruction 101. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Christian Reconstruction 101 as well. And we have our Facebook groups on there as well. You can join those if you'd like to discuss things, ask questions. But our groups that we have are quite different than others. And where other groups like to fight, other people like to argue, our groups are geared towards attempting to help people. And that's pretty much what it's geared towards. Questions are great. Discussions are great, but the idea of fighting and arguing and all the rest in between, that's not something that we want to promote on our podcast, on our materials, or on any of our social media groups and content. So if that's something that's interesting to you, you can try to find us on our website or find us on social media. But thank you for bearing with me again, and so we'll talk to you again next time. Until then, God bless.